You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as we pick up the pieces following an epic comeback. The New England Patriots win their fifth Super Bowl championship, down 25 freaking points to the Atlanta Falcons, and it's all over but the crying for the Dirty Birds right now. Tom Brady and company nailed down the championship, and we pick up the pieces and break it down. Steve Merrill will step up and in. We'll recap this from a betting and prop perspective a little bit. But you know what? There's no rear view mirrors here, man. All right. We're not going to learn anything from what happened in the Super Bowl yesterday that's going to help us tonight. And tonight, we've got a couple of big college basketball games on the board. So Steve Merrill will break down Virginia and Louisville. That's a big line movement. I don't know what's going on. It moved just moments before the show. So we'll find out what's up, why it went from 3 to 6.5. The Virginia Cavaliers laying 6.5 to Louisville. We've got Kansas. Their like 50-game home win streak comes to an end over the weekend. They look to bounce back. We got a big rivalry game against K-State. K-State getting 3 points. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl with a Patriot fan and a Bostonian, the Tony Cincata. And, you know, I was on the New England Patriots yesterday. But I'm already sick of this. Like, really? I don't like pulling for them. And, you know, I had a prop that the Patriots going to win one in between 1 and 6 points at plus 350. That was the only bet I had on the Patriots. Oh, yeah, and I did take them plus 12.5 when they were down in the game as well. And, you know, it was bittersweet. I was more upset about the props, but we'll get to that in a moment's time. It was kind of bittersweet, but, you know, I need the money. Yeah, I need the money. I like the Atlanta Falcons a hell of a lot better. And I told you the Falcons would win the NFC. I like the Falcons a hell of a lot better. I like the Patriots. But, you know, I like Devontae Freeman. But Devontae Freeman's not paying my bookie bills, is he? Devontae Freeman's not paying my rent. Julio Jones, and I've always said this before. You know what? Like, I've always said this. Like, Donovan McNabb, if you just send me $13,000, I'll stop hating you forever. But, you know, Bob Wickman, you owe me about a quarter of $1 million. We can go down the list of athletes that owe me a big freaking money. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick owes me a ton of money, all right? But Ryan Fitzpatrick owes every damn team he's ever played for a ton of money for ripping him off. But that's besides the point. But it's kind of bittersweet. And, you know, like, really? You know, the Patriots win again. You know, the Boston Bruins have won. The Red Sox are annoyingly good all the time. I look forward to the day when teams from Boston will suck once again. If the Patriots aren't going to suck for a little while. I knew it was lost yesterday. Paul Pierce's epic return and finale in Boston. Last time he's ever going to play in Boston, unless the Clippers, and I actually just realized this actually right now. They kept saying this is the last time that Paul Pierce will ever play in this arena. So I guess everyone's convinced that the Celtics and the Clippers aren't playing in the NBA Finals. But Paul Pierce hits a damn shot. His final shot, man, at the Garden. Unbelievable. A three ball as well. Unbelievable. Like, you know, and that's going to be buried in the back pages of Boston sports lore today because of the Super Bowl. But we break it down with Tony Cincata. And, oh, yeah, full slate, 11 games on the Association Hardwood this evening. And we're going to begin a new daily feature on the program today, just like we gave you a weekly NFL lineup every Friday. We're going to give you a daily NBA lineup, all right? But be kind to me, man. You know, we haven't played in a little while. It's our first lineup yet. We watch the NBA every night. We're betting on the stuff every night. But we haven't gotten into the DFS daily routine yet this year. But we will, and it won't take us long to get back in the groove. So Tony Cincata breaks it down with us. Jason Braddock, Houston, Texas, the source. Jason Braddock's going to step up and join us. He was at the Super Bowl, of course, covers the Texans. Great for him, man. The Super Bowl landed in his backyard. I think next year it's in Minneapolis. So lands in his backyard. Jason Braddock did a great job covering the game. Jason Braddock will join us and we'll put a bow on the Super Bowl. Although, you know, I don't really want to live in the past too much. I want to forge forward. But Malinsky will join us and Lawrence will join us. The Super Bowl will probably come up a bit for the rest of the week. But then we move on. Then we move on and we can start talking about the upcoming draft that we can bet on. Now, speaking of bets, it's time for our final Who Ruined Your Sunday of the 2016 National Football League season. As the New England Patriots, the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. Nobody had ever come back from trailing by more than 10, all right, before they were down 25. Now, the Buffalo Bills comeback against the Houston Oilers still stands as a bigger comeback, but this was the Super Bowl. And it was actually bittersweet for me, because I stood right here on Friday and I told you that the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl 31-27. Yeah, ended up 34-28. We were close. And I cashed, so we hit the New England Patriots. We hit that nice prop, plus 350, when the Patriots win in between 1 and 6 points. Unfortunately, our total point payout at plus 240, 51 to 60, didn't come to fruition. But even though I was on the right side of this football game, I hate the New England Patriots. I don't like the New England Patriots. And a part of me was enjoying seeing the Patriots choke and Tom Brady choke in the first half of this football game. But bills have to be paid. And the fact of the matter is, as much as I like the Atlanta Falcons, what are the Atlanta Falcons going to do for you? The Atlanta Falcons are like Ray Bulger, all right? Ray Bulger's thinking about Ray Bulger. Is Kim Basinger taking your trash out? Of course not. You think Julio Jones is going to show up and mow your lawn for you? You think, you know, Julio's going to, hey, don't worry about the money you owe the bookie. I'll call him. I'll take care of that. Yeah, I love you, Julio, but unless you start paying my bills, then it's a cold-ass world. And the fact is, I realized a long time ago, and I remember this yesterday as well during the Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, I don't like the Patriots, but, you know, I need them to win this this game so I can win my bet. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what you actually want, what you pull for. It happens all the time with fantasy players. Well, I'm pulling for this team, but I need this guy. I don't know who to pull for. Trust me, it doesn't matter who you're pulling for. Whatever's going to freaking happen is going to happen. And in the end, somebody's going to end up screwing you. And it's amazing to me, in a football game that somehow I nearly picked a damn correct score of, in a football game that I called the exact script of, I told you there'd be no points in the first quarter. I told you there'd be more points scored in the second half. It's like I was like Bill Belichick. I had a stolen script in my head. Yet somehow there was a long list of props, and there was a lot of carnage left on the field. I don't even know where to start. Let's start off with Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman, over under 7.5 receptions in this football game. I legitimately thought Julian Edelman would finish this football game with like 11 receptions, 12 receptions. Hell, even maybe a Super Bowl record. Maybe even a Super Bowl record, 13 receptions. Well, they targeted him. Unfortunately, he couldn't freaking catch it. He couldn't catch it, or Brady overthrew him or underthrew him. Tom Brady was putrid in the first half. Julian Edelman kept dropping balls. He's wide open. Brady couldn't get it to him. And we end up losing the prop, 7.5. Now, he only finished with 5 freaking catches. Can you imagine if, the prop was 5.5? How much money would we have lost? So we would have bet everything that Julian Edelman would have had 6 catches in this Super Bowl. Julian Edelman finishing with 5 catches ruined my Sunday. Similar situation with Julio Jones. Julio Jones was awesome, all right? Julio Jones, was like gourmet food. You go to the restaurant and it's freaking awesome, but the portions were too small. 4 for 4. Like, really? You targeted Julio Jones 4 times? I don't care that he was double teamed. I don't care about the coverage. Throw him the damn football. We saw when there was 3 guys on him, it didn't matter. He came down with it. Throw him the freaking football. The total props for Julio Jones was 6.5. 4 targets, 4 catches. Maybe you should have thrown him the football a little bit more. We had a prop on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, over 25.5 completions. 17 completions. The fact that Matt Ryan only threw the football 23 times ruined my Sunday. I thought that Mohamed Sanu was going to have a good game. Yeah, Mohamed Sanu, another. 2 targets, 2 footballs. Like, really? Come on, man. Mohamed Sanu was was as invisible as Mike Pence in a freaking snowstorm, all right? It's ridiculous. You know, Sanu was open. They weren't throwing the football. You know, when you look back on this game, how the hell did they only throw the football 23 times when it's all said and done? You got Julio Jones. You only threw him the football four times. You only threw the football twice to Sanu all damn game. That ruined my Sunday. Now, you know, we can go on and on. You know, as far as I've told you guys in the past, it's always a sucker bet. Will a team score three unanswered times? And I always say, yes, they're going to score three unanswered times. I never bet it. And people always get roped in because of the plus money. This time, I was this stupid-ass fish. I got reeled in. Oh, this will be a close game. Yeah, until that pick six that actually took down, whether it be a defensive or special teams, touchdown as well. We can go on and on. Yeah, we didn't hit the long field goal. That one actually kind of sucked. That ruined my Sunday. Now, when it's all said and done, we did hit the New England Patriots to win by 1 to 6 points at plus 350. But due to the long list of props that we lost that fell short, including how many players would have a rushing attempt on the Atlanta Falcons? You know, Matt Ryan, none. They had two. It was 3.5. That ruined my Sunday. But considering last year I lost like $10,000, if not more, on the Carolina Panthers, then missed my plane in Las Vegas, got stranded at the airport, had to go back to my hotel room at like 5 in the morning after throwing my keys away and not remembering what freaking room I was staying in, and snapping a consecutive show streak of like 510 days. All things considering, it could have been a hell of a lot worse. Who ruined your Sunday? Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, I went a little long off the top. I don't know. I guess it happens, huh? I actually think I could stand there for like the entire 47, 48 minutes. I could do it. Drew just said no. What an idiot this guy is. Like, he really is the king of the idiots, huh? Camera two, Drew. He's like, no, you can't. You don't think I can stand there for 47 minutes and rant?
You can talk there, but you wouldn't be able to stand.
He thinks, he just said I could talk, but I can't stand. What do you mean? What do you think, I'm Hillary Clinton? I can't stand for 47 minutes without collapsing? Warman says he didn't consider it. Yeah, Warman, I'd like to see you stand. Warman's a picture of health. Okay, we get a picture of Warman here. There's a better chance of me standing up for 47 minutes than you. My cardio is great. All you guys are pissing me off. Who ruined my Monday? The crew. All right, D. Tony Sincotta. I like Tony. I like Jason. I like Steve Merrill. I don't know why I even bother talking to these stooges. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Gabe?
This guy, you know me, Steve. He questions whether I can rant for 47 minutes straight.
You can definitely rant. I'm not sure you can do it 5 days straight for an entire season, but you can definitely pull it off occasionally. It depends on the duration of the endurance we're talking about.
No, but I like the fact that they're like, no, you can bitch, but you couldn't stand there for that long. It's like, hey,
might not be the best thing for you long term to do it, but you can do it.
No. These shows aren't good for me, but that's besides the point. All right, Steve, let's get right down to business here. Biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. I know you're a big numbers guy, so for the record, the peak number for the Patriots when down 25 was plus 1,600.
That's interesting. You know, I didn't get a chance to find that out. I was wondering what their in-game odds were to win straight up. You know, they had those analytical tools, and that's probably about right. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if you've talked about it or are going to talk about it. I haven't really watched any media today because I just don't have any use for it. But two things. First of all, I like the new overtime better than the old overtime because the Patriots would have kicked the field goal there. I think it definitely, you know, gives teams incentives to try to score. But I think we have to start having a discussion about the fairness of another team not ever getting the ball when they lose a Super Bowl because of it. And especially when these two teams are so offensively driven. I mean, the coin toss really maybe decided that overtime. The other thing, too, is I don't know if there's been any talk today. Like I said, I don't check the media, but I really think Brady, Belichick, or both. I mean, that could have been their last game. I mean, if you're going to ever go out, why not now? Tom Brady will actually be 40 at the Super Bowl next year.
Oh, he's not going anywhere. They're signing a contract extension in a couple of days.
I'm shocked. When he took the knee down to the ground last night, I really thought maybe he kind of knew that could be his last game, but we'll see.
This son of a bitch is going to be around for another 5-6 years, man. Like, he's going to outlast Trump as the president. No, I guarantee you, like, that's a prop right there. Like, what will last longer? Tom Brady is quarterback of the Patriots or Donald Trump is president? I don't think, you know, Brady will last 4 years. I don't know if Trump will.
Well, what's interesting about Belichick is I think McDaniels knows the clock is ticking because he took his name out of the running early for any head coaching openings. So I think there's definitely a quiet agreement there that he'll be the next Patriots head coach.
I wish, as a Bills fan, but I don't see it happening.
But you just got to wonder what the timetable is. I mean, you know, if it's going to be 4 or 5 years, do you still stick around and wait 4 or 5 years to become the head coach? I mean, maybe he does.
I think they ride out together. When Brady goes, I think that's when Belichick goes. I think that'll,
I agree.
That'll sort of be the deal.
I felt like it was a little sudden here. But boy, if there's ever a time to do it. They stuck it to the league. You know they wanted to do that. They got the record 5th Super Bowl. Both of them broke the record there. And they're both, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's something that could be talked about.
Yeah, no. They're going to be around forever. And Bill Belichick is such a hard ass that he was asked today. So, you know, what are you going to do now? You know, it must be a great feeling. You win the Super Bowl. He goes, we're 5 weeks behind the rest of the league.
Yeah, I know. He's fun. He's a fun guy.
We need to prepare for the draft. And he goes, I'm getting right to work for the 2017 season. And, you know, as far as Brady is concerned, Steve, I do watch the media because I'm in the media. So, but without being stated, it's to the point now where it's interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo, the backup quarterback for Tom Brady, has the same agent as Tom Brady, which is very unique, actually. So they have the same agent, and it's to the point where they basically told Jimmy, yeah, listen, this isn't happening. You know, we're going to sign an extension with Tommy here, and the Patriots are going to let you go. So they're going to trade him. So Garoppolo's going to get traded. Garoppolo's not going to be on the Patriots because he was sort of being groomed for the next Brady. But, you know, look at Brady. He's playing as good as he's ever played. You know, look at him. He struggled in the first half. But when it was all said and done, man, you know, Tom Brady, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Steve, right now.
No question about it.
John Elway was a little beaten up and stuff. Brady never gets hit, so he's still fresh. I think Brady plays another five years.
Well, that's a good point about the injuries because Peyton Manning was a walking wounded warrior
exactly.
By the time he hung it up. And Tom Brady, one of the reasons that got me thinking about it is he took a beating last night, Gabe. I guess maybe that's why it started to cross my mind. But you're right. In the AFC least, he never takes a beating. And he's in a good situation. In fact, he says his arm feels better. I heard an interview about a year ago. His arm feels better, he said, than 10 years ago because he's smarter the way he works during the week, the way he takes practice reps. Yeah, and it doesn't look like him or Belichick have lost an edge. So I agree. He probably could play another 4 years. It'd be interesting to see what happens. And the other reason I was thinking is because they do have a decent backup situation now. They won with two different quarterbacks this year in September when he was out. But if Garoppolo leaves, and that's even more of a reason Brady's going to have to stick around 3 or 4 years. It's going to be interesting because when those two leave, the cupboard's going to become a little bit bare. You see this with a lot of the teams. The Washington Redskins during their heyday when I was growing up, it happened. Gibbs got out of Dodge just right after they won that Super Bowl 26. He saw the writing on the wall. And I think Belichick will do the same thing. He'll get out right when he sees the writing on the wall as well, and that'll probably be with Brady.
Yeah, it can't happen soon enough, but it's not going to happen. Not going to happen for a little while, but I'm just sick of the Patriots. You know, I'm glad I was on them yesterday, but I'm sick of them, and you know, they're so classless. I want to get into the intro, too. I forgot, but Robert Kraft's just a big jerk. Like, you guys cheat. You've repeatedly cheated from stealing the Rams playbook to the spy game to the deflate gate, to the crap we don't even know about. And he just takes the trophy from Goodell, doesn't say anything to him. You know, show a little class, dude, but he's like, this one's more special. Yeah, you're big victims. I know. Yeah, you're big victims, Kraft. Like, screw you. You're classless. They're classless. They're the greatest franchise in NFL history, but they're classless. So, Steve, we only got like 3 minutes. Let's hit Louisville and Virginia. What's the deal with this? Because the line was 3 a couple hours ago, and just as I was about to step on the air, I see it's 6.5 right now. Louisville are getting 6.5.
Yet the third and fifth leading scorers are both suspended tonight, disciplinary actions for Louisville. So they're going to be without a combined 18 points. Their third scorer, Ding Adele, and their fifth scorer, Magook McThon.
Right, scratch the play, boys. Scratch.
Yeah, these guys are both overseas imports, it sounds like. So who knows what they did? They were probably partying or something. Who knows what the violation
is? Well, I don't know, Steve. That's it. Like, violation of team rules means different things in some schools.
Right. Some schools, Louisville, it means, who knows?
Yeah, some schools it means, yeah, the kid stayed out past curfew, past midnight on Friday night. We didn't get home until 12:30. And then you got Baylor violation of team rules, in which they sexually assaulted, 52 women.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously this line's inflated, and I'm always apprehensive, Gabe, when this happens, because like you said, they basically have adjusted it over a full three-point basket. And we often see teams step up. Iowa did that last Tuesday against Rutgers. I had Rutgers in that game. Iowa was without their best player, and they went out and smoked them on the road still. A lot of times in the NBA, you see it as well. Teams step up that first game when they're shorthanded because it motivates them and wakes them up. So we kind of need to find out what happened here. If it's something that's going to break up the locker room, maybe that's not the case. So a lot of uncertainty with this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. I almost, because I'm tempted by the 6.5. You don't want to overreact because everyone's going to run to the window. Oh, no, Louisville, bet against Louisville right now.
Right.
And Virginia really aren't built to blow anybody out, Steve.
Well, not good teams. Yeah, I mean, they blow out these terrible teams.
Yes, yes.
Because the other teams just can't score. But Louisville obviously plays a similar style. Don't forget also, Gabe, both teams are comfortable in that half-court style. Under probably is worth a look because these two guys combined for almost 19 points a game this year, and both teams like to slow it down. The under might be the safest play.
That's a good point. A very good point. All right, we only got about a minute here, but Kansas, K-State, another situation here with Kansas. You hear, there's team violations. No, the players are just witnesses to a sexual assault. And then they're like, no, there's nothing to see here. And now there's like another two kids. I don't know, they vandalized the campus or something. I don't even know what the hell's going on with these guys. Finally caught up to them. They're a good team, but seems like it's a dangerous spot tonight. K-State, do you think they're a live dog?
Yeah, I do think they're a live dog. They've always been a very strong home team over the years. They're 10-2 at home this season. And I played against Kansas a few weeks ago with West Virginia. And everybody loved Kansas getting 3.5 at West Virginia in that game. And West Virginia won by double digits. Kansas has been a little bit vulnerable on the road. They're coming off a loss heading into this game. Overtime loss on Saturday against Iowa State. Now they have just one day to prepare and travel and recover. So I think the scheduling situation favors K-State as well, who returns home off a home dog win at Baylor, getting points here. I definitely think they're a live dog.
Yeah, I agree. And Kansas has some funky stuff going on behind the scenes as well. The media doesn't pick on it for some reason, but there's some strange stuff going on with the program behind the scenes. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right. The Tony Cincata joins us. We'll talk Super Bowl. We'll talk NBA fantasy for tonight. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we're going to talk some NBA DFS in a moment, and we add a new feature to the program. I'll give you a daily DraftKings NBA lineup, just as I gave you a football lineup every Friday, but we'll get back into the groove of things on a daily basis. As I stated earlier, I haven't played much DFS basketball this year, but I've certainly bet a lot of basketball this year, and pretty much I watch a few college games. I usually watch like the late night Long Beach degenerate special college games. I'll watch the 7 o'clock games, but I watch a lot of NBA basketball. So I'm on top of things already. I just got to get into the groove as far as the salaries and everything and get it rolling. Now I know Tony Cincata's rolling and he helped Mike Cardano win $1,000. And I don't know. And freaking Cardano, he falls back asswards into $1,000 win, accidentally plays $1,000 on DraftKings, thought he was playing 10 bucks. Has to go to Cincata. How rich is Mike that he doesn't even realize that, $1,000 for 10 bucks? What's up, Tony?
I think we need a pay raise, right?
I was going to ask, are you rich like him? Would you notice?
Yes, I would notice.
Yeah, you would notice, huh?
crazy because right before that segment, we were talking about I never leave with a 500 in my account. You never know what'll happen these days. Once I get the 500 in the account, I pull it out. I can put it back in the next day. I like to keep it flowing, and you don't make mistakes like that.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to wake up one morning and find out the attorney Pence and the crew and Trump got pissed off, eh?
Yes.
You're exactly right. You never know. All right, so we'll get to that in a moment. I was thinking about this with the Patriots comeback, 25 points. They have the best comeback in Major League Baseball history against the Yankees. And now you nail down the most epic comeback in Super Bowl history. You know, you son of a bitches in Boston are getting pretty spoiled. I'm getting pretty tired of it, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy because people don't remember the Patriots growing up with the worst franchise in all of sports, right? So we've turned it around the other direction now, and it's just amazing what's going on. We were talking about dynasties. I think in the salary cap era, it's hard to put anyone in the anywhere close to what the Patriots have done in other sports because now we've got all salary cap. But prior to that, you know, you had the Bulls, you had the Lakers in basketball that had some salaries, and of course we had the Yankees back in the day. And then the Braves, at least they won 14 division titles.
It's sort of LeBron-ish, actually, with Brady. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, you have to say Brady is ahead of LeBron in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, multiple championships, you know, repeatedly going to the finals. You know, Brady's now 5-2. But what is amazing, and you and I brought this up last week and I brought it up, you know, in the old days, the most known thing about the Patriots in their history was the guy on the day pass that came out and plowed the snow. Against the Dolphins. Yes, you know, and then that was, you know, and I liked the team so much, I bought the team. Remember the Razor
guy? Victor Kiam.
You know, Sam Cunningham was one of my favorite players when I was a kid. You know, Steve Grogan was the, you know, like, yeah. But what's amazing, like you said, the Red Sox hadn't won in 87 years. And the Patriots, since that 86 Super Bowl, their first appearance, so much success in the last recent era. And what was amazing yesterday for Bostonians, and I got goosebumps watching it, I made a point of watching it, was Paul Pierce's final appearance.
Oh, yeah.
But I joked earlier, I guess nobody thinks the Celtics are playing the Clippers in the finals because they're ever, it's his last time he's ever here. But I got to tell you, man. You know, we want Paul coming off the bench and hitting that freaking three. Goosebumps right now again. And it's too bad for him that it happened to be Super Bowl Sunday, because otherwise that's front page material in Boston. Now Right. It's page 9, you know?
Right, absolutely. And it was great to watch. And Doc Rivers, got to give a lot of credit for starting him in that game. But it was funny, Doc Rivers was honest. They were down by 9 when they interviewed him during the game. They asked him when Paul was going to get back in. He goes, well, we're down 9, and Paul only played 5 minutes, and he's minus 9 while he was on the court. So we just called it out.
I thought of that, too. That's awesome with Doc. I thought of it, too. It's like, Doc, you know, Doc's played there, too. I mean, like, Doc's their guy. He knows what's going on. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man, you know, you're going to lose. Like you said, you're down by 9. You're down by 6. Come on, man. And it's not like, you know, he actually hit a shot, unlike the rest of the stiffs out there. But that was one of the coolest sporting moments I've seen. Unbelievable. But Pierce belongs right up there, doesn't he? Doesn't get that credit. Second leading scorer in Boston Celtic history. Multiple championships. You know, to me, Brady, Big Poppy, Bird, Paul Pierce. You know, hang his jersey up there. Retire the number. He's one of the all-time Celtic greats. I think it's time for people to recognize that.
Yeah, he'll actually get that. And the one thing about Paul Pierce is you don't get a lot of the older players like today's players. Everyone, Tom Heinsohn, all those guys all respected Paul Pierce. They loved him. And he was great. He played a little defense when it came to the championship games, and it was amazing to watch it, how good Paul Pierce ended up being on a lot of bad teams for most of his career until they brought Garnett in and Ray Allen and finally got him some help.
All right, let's talk about tonight's card from a DFS perspective. 11 games on the board. We got a couple of projected high-scoring games. And do you fall for that, Tony? Because, you know, I read a lot of DFS previews, and just because the game's going to be high scoring doesn't mean that players in that game are the best fantasy play. You know, it could be a lower scoring game and one guy could dominate in that game. But with that being stated, I am attracted to games in which I know they're going to go up and down the court. Cavs, Wizards, Lakers, Knicks, Suns, Pelicans, Mavs, Nuggets, all expected to be high scoring games tonight.
So you get a double bonus in that Washington Wizards game. You get a game with the highest total, and the Wizards only play seven guys in their rotation. They don't go any deeper than that. So John Wall tonight against Kyrie Irving, who's not good defensively, and he's got an injury he's playing with. I like John Wall tonight. If you're going to spend up the money and go with him at point guard, I think Otto Porter's a play tonight, too, against LeBron James. LeBron likes to play offense, sometimes forgets to cover people out there. And I think Bradley Beal is going to be a good play as well tonight.
Yeah, I like where you're going with that, actually. I have Otto Porter in my lineup. A couple of other guys you like tonight. Obviously, Anthony Davis, looking at this dude. $10,300. I tried to get greedy and squeeze him and Cousins into the lineup tonight. And I just couldn't do it. So I took Davis out, but I understand where you're going with this. How about Yogi Ferrell? Nice big three the other day. Mavericks playing good basketball. The former Hoosiers lighting it up right now.
Only played three games as a starter. Played 36 minutes in each and got 36 fantasy points in two out of the three. Absolutely a guy you can keep in your lineup right now.
Paul George, you like? You got circled tonight. Paul George is playing good basketball. Put up like 26 points a game. 26 points, real points a game.
Yeah, he's got a bad price too on DraftKings. He's only $7,800 tonight, which I don't know why he's so low. That's a $9,000 or $10,000 player.
Derrick Rose, always hit or miss with D-Rose. Whether he's going to be in the lineup, right?
He's going to be back tonight. The Lakers are the absolute worst defensively. Against point guards, they're the second worst in the NBA. And D. Rose, last time he came back, he lit up for 40 fantasy points first night back.
Julius Randle, I'm a fan of Julius Randle. He's one of the few Lakers that actually tries on a nightly basis.
Yeah, and he's been playing subpar. He's been dealing with some sort of crazy illness.
Yeah.
So I'm a little skeptical on him, but no one will own him. The price is down to $5,900. You can put him in play tonight. Yeah, in that same game.
That's the thing for me with Randle. He's just too inconsistent.
Oh, yeah. Huge inconsistent. That's why you get him cheaper, though, than guys of that talent.
All right. A couple of guys I have in my lineup I want your opinion on, and for the greater scope of things moving forward. Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio had a little bit of an offensive spark even before LaVine got hurt. I don't know if Thibodeau told him, you got to shoot more, be a little bit more assertive out there, stop looking for the pass so much. But he's shooting a little bit more. We know he's a great passer. But his confidence level, Tony, seemed to have gone up recently. And now with LaVine out, I think maybe this is an opportunity for Rubio. We'll see if he can continue this progression. But he's been a rock solid five times your money back, Tony. And I think there's a lot of upside here with him. And I like him tonight at $6,600. What do you think about Ricky tonight and moving forward?
Two players went up 7% in usage when Zach LaVine was out of lineup. Ricky Rubio and Wiggins. Both those guys' usage rates went up through the roof, 7% on both those guys. So I like them both going forward a lot.
All right, so what's the deal, man? You watch this guy play. You see a lot of Knick games. Hernan Gomez, the Spaniard.
Free Willie.
Coming out of nowhere. Yeah, my boy Willie. I like it that him and Porzingis, the Europeans, are like, yeah, we got this. And they're probably, screw these guys. All right, we'll be in the future here. Don't worry about it. But I like this guy. I'm a big fan of international players. The fundamentals are there. Not intimidated by anybody in the NBA. And man, this guy's put up big numbers when he's gotten the minutes. Noah's out. You got a fresh young body. Just let the guy play out there.
Yeah, the only problem is sometimes the coach gets in the way here.
I know.
Sometimes Kyle Quinn. So I'll put him out there tonight. $5,200. I got to play him. And Kristaps Porzingis has the best matchup on paper. But he's only had one good game two games ago where he went over 30 points since coming back from the injury. But they are the worst in the league at covering power forwards. As much as we love Julius Randle, sometimes he forgets defense too.
You know, a game that's interesting tonight. Sacramento, you got Cousins. A bad night for Cousins. He's going to give you 55 points.
Yeah.
55 DK points. I'm not so sure Lopez is going to want any piece of this. The Bulls kind of, they're in a disinterested mode. But I wanted to ask you, I don't know, are you hearing anything about Jimmy Butler? Yesterday they were in Sacramento. He couldn't even practice, man. And they said, what did you do today? And he had a great line. He goes, I put my ass on the bench. That's what I did. And he sat there. I don't think he's going to be playing. Why are you going to rush this guy back tonight? I don't think he plays. And if he doesn't, then Michael Carter-Williams, I think, is a nice play tonight. Tony, what's your take?
Yeah, if he goes out, right, whoever's left standing are the guys there, because the usage rate will go through the roof. Like Dwayne Wade, if they could hang in the game, would be a great play. Michael Carter-Williams gives you a cheap play in that one for sure. And Matt Barnes is a guy I like in this game tonight, too.
Yeah.
He's still on his salary. He'll probably get the start with the Temple injury there. So Matt Barnes in that game is also a good play.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. I look forward to talking more NBA DFS with you. Always a pleasure. Congratulations to you guys in Boston again.
Yes, just what we need, more winning.
Yeah.
We're very humble people.
Yeah, like you and Trump, winners.
Winners. We win so much, we get tired of winning.
Trump actually left. He had a Super Bowl party in Mar-a-Lago. He left in disgust. And then after, he's like, me and Brady, we're winners. Always a pleasure, Tony.
Take care.
Tony Cincato with us. All right, Jason Braddock, he's a winner. He joins us next. Game Time Decisions. We are live on a Fantasy Sports Network. Man, this show has really flown by today. Unbelievable. All right. We've spent a lot of time on the show praising the New England Patriots, and I'm getting pretty sick of it. Like I said earlier, pretty classless of Kraft. Didn't even say thanks to Goodell or anything like that. Like, dude, show some class. Yeah, you guys have feuded, but, I tweeted out earlier, Kraft is a lot like his buddy Goodell. You notice, like before, whenever Roger Goodell was suspending everybody else and everything, Kraft never had a problem with it. And Kraft was Goodell's guy. They were buddies. But the second that Goodell turns on Kraft, he's a horrible commissioner. And, Trump's like that with judges. The so-called judge. Kraft, the so-called commissioner. I thought he could have handled it with a little bit more class. Tom Brady handled it with class. But nevertheless, let's bring in a man that did a great job covering the Super Bowl for the past couple of weeks. And he had the opportunity to be at the game last night. Jason Braddock, Houston, Texas, steps up and in. The source. What's going on, Jason? How you doing, man?
Doing good, Gabe. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. It's amazing. The last time the Super Bowl was in Houston, it was an epic football, game finish, and similar situation. It was a slow start, and then you had a classic finish. And then similar situation last night. But, hey, you were at the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. 25 points, man. Did everybody in the press box think this game was over? Did anybody think the Patriots were coming back?
No, most people didn't think they were coming back. People that I spoke with and saw, a lot of them were failing early, saying things like, all right, well, if New England doesn't score here, then I'm going to go ahead and head out. I watched guys leave in the second quarter, the third quarter, and all. I always had a feeling that New England would make it close or, kind of close like that, 28-20. And I always felt like we would get somewhere to that point. I didn't see them coming back and winning the game. But I was about to bail out early on a Belichick-Brady team and completely rule them out.
No, you're exactly right. All right, we've got Matt Ryan. We talked a lot. I'm so not used to running tape here. I'm all, when are we going to run? I used to be smooth with B-roll. Yeah, I'm not used to it. But we've got Matt Ryan, and obviously disappointed Matt Ryan after yesterday's collapse.
I'm not sure. I think, we did some good things. Obviously, the first drive out of halftime wasn't good, but our second drive to go down and put points up on the board, I thought that was a solid drive for us. Again, I thought we did a couple good things in the third and fourth quarter. Just made some mistakes in situations that put us behind the chains, and we were not able to overcome that, so that part was disappointing. Too aggressive? No, I thought Kyle did a good job. I thought we played played the way that we play. We always play aggressive and, you know, play to win. And we had opportunities as players. We had opportunities, and we made some mistakes on the field that at the end of the day ended up costing us.
Yeah, and they did have an opportunity, Jason. It's easy to say what if after the fact, but when it was 28-20, they had the big pass to Freeman, goes down the field, boom. Next thing you know, they're up 8. There's 4.5 minutes left. They have a first down on the 23 freaking yard line. And instead of just getting conservative and running the football 3 times in a row, they screwed around. They took a sack. They took a penalty. Took themselves out of field goal range. Kyle Shanahan said after, nobody goes down the field and thinks, hey, we want to get 3 and kick a 45-yard field goal here. But with that being stated, you play it safe and kick a damn field goal there. That's the game to me. There are a lot of plays that happen, including Edelman's epic catch. But right then and there, that position. You have the ball up 8 on their 23-yard line. You can't take yourself out of field goal range, man.
I completely agree. And you're gashing them with the running game all game long as well. Devontae Freeman was explosive. They had no answer or response to him. And I got to disagree with Kyle Shanahan. When you say nobody goes into the game thinking, well, we want to go down there and get a field goal. Well, when it's still your Super Bowl win, I think there's a lot of people, including one of his biggest mentors outside of his dad, Gary Kubiak, who would have done exactly that and would be a Super Bowl champion today.
That's a good point. You know what Kubiak would have done there? He would have handed the ball off to C.J. Anderson 3 times in a row.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Like, they had it. And, you know, it's amazing to me from a betting perspective. I had Devontae Freeman under 14.5 rushing attempts. And I nailed it because I'm like, well, I think the Falcons will be behind a little bit. They're not going to, you know. They were getting big explosive plays, but they weren't running the ball consistently. So Coleman comes in, and then Coleman's gashing them as well. They're having great success. Coleman gets hurt. I think to myself, Jason, oh no, I'm screwed. Now Coleman's out. Freeman's already at 9 carries. They're going to give him the ball now. He ended up with 11. They gave him the ball only 2 times after Tevin Coleman's out. That's why they lost the game. You know, like, let's be real. Like you said, Freeman was on fire. You couldn't stop him. Like, you know they got too aggressive, bad play calling, and it burnt them.
It did. 100% it did. This was one of the games, and this isn't a takeaway anything from Tom Brady. Guy passed for 466 yards, had a monster day, everything, but this game, this Super Bowl, is on the shoulders of coaching. Bill Belichick made some adjustments there in the second half. You gave up 28 points in the first half. This Patriots defense was the number one ranked defense in points per game of what they allowed. And they gave up 28 points in the first half. Second half, 0. So those halftime adjustments that Belichick is so known for, Dan Quinn, he got out coached. This win falls on the coaching staff. Again, not to take a shot at Brady or anybody else. That is to say that they didn't play well, but it's just to say that as well as Brady has played, it wouldn't have mattered if Quinn didn't get his butt whooped by Bill Belichick.
One thing I want to say about the Falcons, though, we saw the Panthers make the Super Bowl last year. They lose one game. I saw a lot of similarities between the run that they went on, these two teams, but the difference was, you know, the Panthers are not an extremely young team. The Panthers don't have a ton of superstars on their team in the same way the Falcons do. Now, the Falcons losing Kyle Shanahan is going to hurt them. We'll see, you know, we'll see how that affects their offense. But I don't think the Falcons fall off the face of the earth or anything like that. I think they are going to be a dangerous team still for the next couple of years. But with that being stated, man, and I love Bill Belichick's mindset. That's why he's the best in the business. They said, you know, what are you going to do this week? He said, well, we'll quickly celebrate. You know, they got the parade and all that stuff. But he goes, we're already 5 weeks behind the rest of the league, you know, in preparing for next year. And Super Bowls, man, they're not won and lost on Super Bowl Sunday, Jason. You know it, man. They're won and lost in the war room and in the draft, because if you don't draft well, you're not playing in the Super Bowl. Like, the offseason is more important than the season is, actually, in the construction of these football teams. So in all reality, 2017 season has already started, Jason. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. It's already started. I wouldn't say they're behind the eight ball because it's not only drafting. One of the things that Belichick does so well, one of the things that I'm just in, it's almost infuriating to me that we haven't seen more NFL teams follow this mold, because he's been doing it for over a decade now and he's found success in it. One of the things Bill Belichick does, he goes and takes other guys' cast-offs that they don't want anymore, give up a crappy day three pick that chances of actually hitting on are very limited, to take a guy that was drafted in the first, second, third round that teams had high hopes on, but it didn't work out there. But Belichick sees a fit for their athleticism in his systems. Kyle Van Noy, Shea McClellan, Eric Rowe, going into the pass. You got guys like, what was the kid's name? But, I mean, it just goes to the
LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, somebody nobody wanted.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount. Nobody wanted to touch him at that time. And it just goes to the point that even Chris Long, nobody wanted him, and you got serviceable production from him. So it just goes to show that Belichick marches to the beat of his own drum, and he finds value in these guys that had that talent when they came out, and he trusts his scouting led. Yeah, maybe they were a first-round pick and it didn't work out in Chicago, or maybe it didn't work out in Detroit, but I see a fit in that athleticism. I like what we saw in them coming out, and I think I can get something out of it in this defense or in this offense.
Jason Braddock, Sports Talk 790. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure. Take care, Gabe.
All right. I can't wait. You know what? I'm fine without football right now. I thought the NFL was a crappy product this year anyways. I think they need to go back and retool, and they actually are. They're going to try to speed the game up next year. But I am excited for the upcoming draft to break it down. Big college guy. I know these players, and we can bet on the draft, and I always do well. Betting on it, Arena Football around the corner. And, of course, we've got a ton of offseason intrigue. What's going to happen with Tony Romo? If you weren't paying attention, yesterday there was a rumor that the Kansas City Chiefs are ready to kick Alex Smith to the curb and bring Tony Romo in. And, the other team, who do you think the other team that wants Tony Romo is? Who do you think, camera two, Drew? The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills. Yeah, of course, the Bills would want Tony Romo. You know what I mean? But, you know, what about Jay Cutler? What about the Denver Broncos quarterback situation? A lot of palace intrigue out there. We come back with a DraftKings NBA lineup and our plays of the day. All right, it's time for an NBA DFS daily lineup. We're going to be doing this on a daily basis. Treat me kindly, people. It's going to take me a couple of days to get in the groove. Let's start off with Ricky Rubio. The usage is way up with Levine out. He's been on fire. You know what? Steph Curry's not the only Curry in the NBA. Seth Curry's been balling, man. Last four games, averaging 36 DK points per game. Ty Warren, $4,300 at a great spot versus the Pelicans. Put up 58 DK points the last two games. DeMarcus Cousins, no explanation necessary. Willie Hernangómez, no Noah, man. This guy, Hernangómez, has been on fire, 32, 46, and 39 in his last three games. If Jimmy Butler's out, I love Michael Carter-Williams tonight. Otto Porter, the best three-point shooter in the NBA this year against the Cleveland Cavalier team that gives up a boatload of threes. And Devin Booker's been killing it, man. This kid's on fire. Time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with the Wizards to get it done. 15-2 against the spread in their last 17 home games. Riding that win streak, they're going to beat the Cavaliers tonight. Minus 120 on the money line. Let's go over 218.5. Suns and Pelicans over 221. Mavs and Nuggets over 214. Better be a high-scoring night in the association tonight. I say it will be. Bulls and Kings over 204.5. Little college basketball, man. Georgia Southern 8-2 at home. Lafayette, not a very good road team. Give me Georgia Southern to get it done on their home court. Louisville, a bunch of suspensions, but I'm getting 6.5 points in a low-scoring basketball game. Give me the Cardinals and give me the under. Kansas and Kansas State. Kansas State Wildcats getting the points are tempting, but I'm going to go over the number. And finally, in the NHL, El Diablos to beat the Sabres. May the winners be yours.